Hi, my name is Dan Blondell. I am the CEO of NanoOne Materials Corp, and we are listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange Venture Fund under the ticker NNO, and have been so for the last year and a bit.
So, Dan, it's been an interesting 2016 for Nano. You
absolutely, yeah.
You had a nice raise. The share price has been accumulating. What do you put it down to, the market is having such a love affair with your company right now?
Well, I think part of it has to do with really the fundamentals in the market. Of course, there's lithium-ion battery market is certainly very heated up, and there's a lot of excitement about it. People are looking for technology plays in the marketplace, so that certainly is a big part of it. And obviously, what we're bringing to the market is also very unique. There's no shortage of fundamental battery plays and battery companies out there. I think the fact that we're trying to address one of the we're really one of the low hanging fruit in this space is addressing the manufacturing process and trying to make a more efficient manufacturing process that will bring real change to the battery market. And people like that story, and they see it as unique. And there's really nothing else in the venture market anything like it.
So we see, in this year especially, a lot of talk about Tesla, a lot of talk about renewable batteries, and obviously oil's had its problems, and people are now seeing rechargeable batteries as being the new oil. But a lot of those lithium players are maybe a couple of years out from ever actually pulling anything out of the ground, if they ever do. What is the risk reward profile on NanoOne compared to that?
Well, in many ways, they're very different profiles here. I mean, the lithium plays are strictly asset and resource plays. We're one step downstream of that. We're developing technology where lithium and cobalt and nickel are actually combined into a value-added product, and that's the product that actually ends up in a battery, storing lithium ions and storing energy. So we're different in that sense. It's not a resource play. It's a technology play. But it's really about the fundamental process of assembling those raw materials into something that's got greater value and can bring about change in the battery space.
Well, that's kind of what I was getting at. Is if someone's interested in lithium as a sector but is unsure which lithium play is going to actually be successful, you're at the back end of all that, wherever the lithium comes from. Your process has the potential to make that end product all the better.
Yeah, essentially we're agnostic to it. Mm-hmm. There's lithium and cobalt and nickel and all the raw materials that go into a battery cathode come from places all over the world. Our job is to assemble them into something that can store energy. And we're not beholden to any particular resource, and nor are we beholden to any particular chemistry. So mm-hmm. it's not common knowledge that lithium-ion batteries come in different flavors and different chemistries. Some of them have more cobalt, some of them have none, some of them have nickel and manganese combined in there, and these are all different chemistries. Our technology can handle it all and assemble it all in an efficient manner and make a better structured material that has better energy storage properties. So that's really one of the advantages. We're kind of we can adjust with the market as the trends change, as the big players, as their trends on the different chemistries change. We can adjust very readily to that, and that gives us a little bit of future proofness on that front.
And as I read your IP situation, you've got some pretty broad patents out there in terms of this process that could apply to a lot of different industries, a lot of different end uses.
Yeah, that's correct. So we have three patent families that have currently been issued, and of course we've got more in the pipe. But the three families are focused on the underlying process. That's the process of assembling these raw materials into a value-added material. Mm-hmm. And it's not restricted just to lithium-ion batteries and the different chemistries in lithium-ion batteries. We could be mixing a variety of different transition metals into oxides or various types of ceramic materials that have applications in different industries. So that's the fundamental process there really has a really broad application in many different markets. And then the remaining parts of our IP portfolio are focused on the types of materials that it can make, and then on top of that, the applications. And specifically right now, we're focused on the flavors of lithium cathode materials that are used in batteries, and that. But obviously, it has much wider ranging applications when we start to look at other markets.
And I would imagine that going forward, as technologies change and as other players look to streamline their own processes, they may just butt up against the patents that you already hold.
That's true. So they may butt up against them. They may see them as an asset that they need to have in the manufacturing facility. Certainly, as lithium-ion batteries mature and as these companies start to build out their market, they're going to be looking for ways to reduce costs in manufacturing and bring about efficiency changes in the materials themselves. So it really comes down to being able to change the underlying processes, bring about process improvements that will give them a competitive advantage. And every one of these players, whether they're in the market or trying to get in the market, will recognize that that's really fundamentally what they need to win is a manufacturing technology that gives them a leg up over their competitors.
So would I be right in assuming that the urgency on your side right now is to get the pilot plan up and running and to be able to demonstrate the tech in a way that's some deals?
Yeah, that's correct. So we recognize very early on that because we're developing fundamental processing technology that in order to de-risk it, we have to show it at a scale and demonstrate a clear path to full-scale production, and that's what that's what this demonstration pilot plant is all about. And that's not to say that we're not going to get interest much earlier than that in the collaboration and of bringing that technology to play. We're already seeing interest from major players in the market and players who want to get into the market who are interested in manufacturing technology, and seems like there's a general interest in collaborating to bring it to the market faster. So we could very well see some of that coming to play before we even have the pilot up and running.
In terms of getting that plan up and running, I know there are a lot of grants around that can help get that happening quickly, which is a nice non-dilutive way to raise money for investors. How is the grant side of things looking?
Well, absolutely. As we announced a little bit earlier this year, we have the support of Sustainable Development Technology Canada, which is known as SDTC, and they are probably one of the biggest clean tech funds in North America. And with 9 months of due diligence on us, we are finally at the stage right now where we're starting the project, and their funds will go basically fund the work we're doing on the pilot for a period of about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that's to the tune of about $2 million. We have other grants in the pipeline with the Canadian government, which can kind of match some of those, possibly augment what SDTC has already put in the pipe. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we have the continued support of a group called Industrial Research Assistance Program, and that's part of Canada's National Research Council. Mm-hmm. And they tend to fund a little bit earlier research work, obviously in the industrial space. So they will be funding work on a material that we're very excited about. It's a cobalt-free cathode material. So it's a combination of lithium, nickel, and manganese going into the battery, but there's no cobalt. Cobalt being the most expensive of the raw materials in the battery. So that's and that work is a little bit more fundamental than we're doing at the pilot stage, but the end goal of that is to come out with a really strong understanding of how that material is going to perform in our process and be able to just drop it right into the pilot process and get it up and running very fast. So we've got some very nice support and financial backing from IRAP on that as well. Mm-hmm. So the Canadian government's been fabulous for us on this one.
So a lot of times in Canada, tech companies that are in either the research stage or looking to develop a technology that will be licensed down the road don't really get the support from the Canadian investors. They don't get the market push that, say, tech companies in the U.S. will get. How do you feel Nano One has turned a corner on that? Like, what has really sort of got the market interested in you? Is it just lithium, or is it the way that you've rolled things out?
I think it's a combination of the two. Obviously, you know, being in there's no substitute for being in the right place at the right time, and I think we definitely are. The battery market is doing very well, and that's fueling a lot of interest in both in the resource space and in the technology space. I think that taking the company on the venture exchange last year was a very fortuitous move. We all know it's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
And even you know, shortly thereafter, you know, there's certainly a lot of long faces in the market. We've been able to hold our own through all of that. I think part of that is that we have a very supportive shareholder base, and we're very appreciative of that, and that they're likely to be there with us for quite some time. And so that's helped give the market confidence in our. In our technology, and I think having that kind of support and that kind of network in Canada has largely, you know, been able to give the kind of confidence that that people need to invest in a company like ours.
What do you think will be the catalyst for the current share price to really start moving? Like, are institutional investors looking you over? Is there the Tesla word, does that have to come out? What's the point where you think people will really say, oh, this is now rolling to the point where it's not going to stop?
Well, you know, I think everyone would like to ride on the shirt tails of Tesla. We've certainly spoken to them as lots of people.
Mm-hmm.
The big catalyst is going to be when we get the kind of strategic interest showing in the technology. We're certainly talking to people in the back room. We haven't had any deals, but things are moving forward. And I think what will probably happen is we'll see a collaboration of some kind on the development of the either of a specific material or of the pilot plant itself.
Mm-hmm.
With the anticipation of one of these companies kind of getting an early access to the to that technology. And that's the most likely scenario in my mind, and probably the one that we're going to remain focused on because we think it's the fastest one to bring to bear.
Certainly, the list of companies and industries that could come, you know, fishing for you is a large one. Beyond Tesla, every other auto manufacturer is in the same boat. Battery makers, electronics companies, like it's. People who are planning to build a house in the next 5 years are going to be looking at batteries. It's going to be a big thing.
Well, certainly on everyone's mind. I think everyone has battery experiences every day, right? So
yeah.
it's definitely on people's minds. In terms of the strategic players out there, they come in many different flavors. We kind of, you know, we break them down into where they fit in the value chain. So there's the battery manufacturers, the Teslas and the Apples who are putting them in their devices. And then there's the guys that supply them, which are the Panasonics and Samsungs and et cetera. And then there's the suppliers that supply them, which are the materials suppliers. And we are actually talking at all those different levels. Each one of them, you know, behaves a little differently. They have different motivations. I think the most likely catalyst for us will come from someone who's trying to get into the market, who needs access to manufacturing technology to be competitive and to be able to grow their market share.
So like a Faraday, for example.
Yeah, it might be a Faraday. It might be someone upstream of them. So it might be someone who supplies them.
Mm-hmm.
So someone supplying Faraday who already have access to that customer base, who want to bring yet another piece of value added sort of technology to the market. So,
right.
whether it's Faraday or Tesla. Or some other large battery integrator, going to bat for us with their suppliers, or whether it's their suppliers, in fact, who are directly working and collaborating with us to develop the technology to give them a leg up. We think, you know, we're playing it on all those fronts, and I believe that's where it's going to come from. That's where this
right.
big catalyst is.
there's certainly been as an investor, I should probably disclose that I have a bunch of Nano One stock that I'm not planning on letting go of anytime soon.
Well, thank you very much for your support.
Thank you very much for what you've done with my money. It's been good.
Okay. I hope we can do more.
Yeah, it's been a nice ride, and what I like about the company is that you see a lot of these sort of early tech plays over the last couple of years in Canada, where there's a little bit of government money, there's a little bit of academic support, there's an idea, but then there's just that disconnect with it that leaves that good idea hanging out there with no real support until the money runs out. And what I see in Nano One is the opposite. It's you guys have a cushion, you're not desperate to go out and raise money, paying for your own country club memberships, I assume. It seems like you're actually pursuing the goals that you set out to pursue.
Yeah, well, we've done a very good job, I think, in the last couple of years of hitting our goals and hitting our milestones, and we're certainly on track to continue doing so. So, I'm very proud of my team for being there and pulling it off and getting it done. That's certainly not easy work.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of it. The other thing that's kind of differs from certainly people in the battery sort of startup space, there's a lot of fundamental work being done on materials, or let's say a new battery architecture or something like that. And the issue of any one of those is that they are, even if they're successful, which they rarely are, the scale up of their technology is often the biggest stumbling block.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if they can scale it up, the adoption of these new technologies into the battery space takes a long time. It's a very conservative market. It takes
sure.
a long time. So our approach is very different than that, because we have a technology platform for assembling yesterday's materials, today's materials, and tomorrow's materials. We can kind of tackle them all at once at the same time and shift as the market shifts. So, we're not asking the world to adopt a brand new battery technology. That really makes us quite different than most of the technology plays out there in this space.
I was going to say a lot of new tech, by the time it actually gets through the processing stage of getting to market, it becomes old tech. There's another thing that comes along, and suddenly it's not as much use anymore.
Right.
And that's not something that you're likely to butt up against unless everyone stops using materials.
That's right, and the underlying technology, we can adapt to it. In fact, there's a good chance that as we have success with cutting edge materials, that we will become the platform for a brand new material.
Mm-hmm.
If the idea being that if we can make it easier to commercialize some of these next generation materials,
mm-hmm.
And bring them to the market faster, simply because of the way we assemble them, we could play a fundamental role in accelerating the market.
Right.
When those come to play. So, de-risking the scale up of these materials is fundamental to driving the battery market. That's where pretty much all of the materials plays can fall in the face. It's in the
mm-hmm.
scale up. So having a platform that can make it easier for researchers to build the materials on a scalable platform, that can have a fundamental impact.
Mm-hmm.
On the space itself. So
it must be an enjoyable time to be coming to work each day. You're not just putting pegs into holes. You're building something new, and it seems to be working.
Yeah. You know what? And we're getting great feedback from it. It's an exciting time to be doing what we're doing. Again, with there being so much sort of day-to-day experience, just everyone has experience with batteries, and everyone's got something to say about them.
Tell me about it. I'm looking at a blinking light on my laptop right now, thinking, where am I going to plug in?
Absolutely. And so that resonates on a day-to-day basis, even with friends and family, and then on the work level, I think we're starting, now that we're starting to build this pilot plant, we're starting to feel that impact on who we're talking to and what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So people realize that we're not just a laboratory experiment. This is real, and we are really scaling it up, and it's quite viable. And we're starting to hear that from the strategic world. That's what they're interested in. That's what they want to talk about. That's what
mm-hmm.
they want to get involved with. And
so I'm guessing a lot of new investors, new people to the story, would look at the building of the pilot plant and think, okay, well, until that thing is built, we don't know if it works. But as I understand it, it works. It's just a case of the pilot plant is almost your showroom.
That's correct. It's really we're going to be showcasing the technology. It's ability for us to demonstrate its path to full production. You know, at the bench level, we have a very productive process. It may not sound like much. We can make hundreds of grams of material, but you compare that to a laboratory or an academic setup where they're making milligrams, we're 1,000 times more volume right out of the gate. And then multiply that by 10 or 100 with what we can do on the pilot plant, and we'll be able to, you know, showcase significant volumes. But more importantly, we're going to be able to show that the balance of plant stuff. So this is how you handle the water and the chemicals and the timing and the weighing of materials. That's what the pilot is. It's all this other stuff that goes around the IP, and it sits around there, and it's what runs the plant, because that's where all the efficiencies are. The efficiencies are how you recycle things and how you you may have a fundamental metallurgical process, but there's a whole bunch of factors that go into that, and it has to do with how well you use energy and how well you use water, and that's really what the pilot plant will show, is that you're not going to end up with this big albatross, on the back of the technology. That we have thought about scale up, and we have thought about the cost of driving this thing at scale.
Right. Yeah. Well done, man.
Well, thank you very much. And just to add to that last thought, the investors often ask about the pilot plant, how long it's going to take, and everything like that. And, we have to build things, and we have to order things, and they take time to sort of bolt and put to the ground. We hope that by the end of this year, we'll have most of the equipment in line, and it'll be operating early in 2017. But what we're trying to do is get that level of involvement and collaboration happening in the next two to 4 or 5 months, because this is the stage where an experienced materials manufacturer, a supplier, can bring horsepower to the table and make a difference in what we're doing. I think they recognize that. That's the kind of value they bring to the table. We're on the innovation side; they're on the production side, and having someone involved. Early at this stage, I think it's obvious to them, certainly from the discussions we've been having. And also, it's obvious to us that having that kind of collaboration will accelerate it. So an investor who's
looking now and thinking, okay, so the power plant's not going to open for another 6 months or so, I got some time to watch it. Maybe it'll go down a little bit. Maybe there'll be no news. But the other side of that is, any time Ford could come along and say, listen, we want to integrate you in a big way.
Yes.
And goodbye share price,
Yeah, absolutely. And, that's what our shareholders, existing shareholders, want us to do. And that's what we're doing. We're out there trying to get that catalyst in place as soon as possible, because it's not only is it fundamental to the valuation of the company, but it's fundamental to what we're doing. On a technical basis, we recognize that kind of expertise is really key to the scale up, and certainly part of our strategic objectives. And so the market can expect us to be working on that and to be turning it around as quickly as we can.
Well, it's nice to be on trend without having to have chased the trend. There's a lot of companies out there that wish they started out in this business 2 years ago, but you're ahead of the game.
Yeah. You know what? We definitely got a head start. We've been through our trials and tribulations, that's for sure. That's behind us, and it's clear sailing ahead. So
excellent.
Very nice to be there.
Well, we'll be checking in the months ahead. Thanks very much for your time today, Dan. And it's Nano One Materials. It's NNO on the Venture Exchange.